You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.
You probably have heard of Tim Tebow, who's been associated with the New York Mets baseball team lately. Maybe kind of done with that. I don't know. Maybe done with professional sports. I know he played professional sports. Got very famous as a college quarterback at the University of Florida. Really fired up his team, kind of known for his unconventional workouts, which are more common today, I believe. I saw a basketball player training. He was pushing a school bus. So things like that. Tim Tebow used to do this. If you get out on the dirt road in Florida, you know, and do some things and stuff like that. But he's known as very much a challenger, challenging his team, things like that. So he was visiting, as he does, a men's unit, men's prison in Texas, to talk about his faith. And while he was there, he posted a series of photos and videos from his visit to Instagram, including footage of a push-up competition between him and one of the inmates. It's probably not a good idea to do, although he did fantastic. So he's 32. You know, and he's not like in training for football anymore, I guess, but somebody like him is probably going to be doing something all the time. But after about 45 seconds, they were just like going at it to see how many you could do. Wow. After about 45 seconds, that's a lot of push-ups. He looked visibly tired and begins to slow down. The inmate that he was going against, named Victor, completed 84 push-ups. Tim Tebow did 71. I thought that was fantastic. But the real thing is, Tim Tebow said, "We had fun. I got smoked." But here's the thing. He captioned the video, "So encouraged by what God is doing at Alfred Hughes Prison and grateful for the time spent by my brothers in Christ today." I guess when you know, if you're going to visit the inmates and you challenge them, probably a good idea. I mean, he probably let the guy win.
Hey, this is Danny Gokey, and you're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Hey, listen, I saw some news. Demi Lovato got baptized. She said she felt renewed after she was not just any baptism. She was baptized in the Jordan River in Israel. I guess Lecrae was commenting. He said, "Well, I was too." People do that. I think Toby Mack just did, I believe. Recently, she was raised, Demi Lovato was raised Christian. She has Jewish ancestry. And according to Relevant Magazine, she said she experienced a quote connection to God during her trip, a connection she said had been missing for a few years now. She also posted a photo of herself with a child at the Shalva National Center. It's a nonprofit organization that supports special needs children. Yeah, feels good, doesn't it, Demi? Get connected with God, do some things for God like that. Kind
of
neat.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the Sound of Life.
Just came across a tweet by Emily, and I really felt for her. Although I want to say, Emily, we're all unworthy. She said, "I'm backsliding. I don't talk to God anymore. I stopped praying. I don't want to do Bible study." Of course you don't. You stop talking to God. "I don't go to church anymore. My godly character is slowly fading away. I feel lost. I'm in need of prayer." Absolutely. "I'm going to try to meet God halfway, but right now I'm unworthy." And I have a feeling maybe what happened is, what happened to a dear friend kind of confessing, said, here's what happens in heaven, right? Your accuser, and there is a real accuser, Lucifer was his name. He fell, banished. Okay, we call him Satan, the devil. Different names, but he is an accuser of you because you're a child of God through the blood of Jesus. And boy, does he hate that. Okay. Probably nothing personal. It just has to do with the fact that you're in Jesus. So he's accusing you in front of God. "Look at what she's doing. Look at this. How can you put up with this? How can you accept her?" And God just simply takes his right hand and opens it up to his high priest sitting to the right, Jesus, his son, covered through the blood. That's it. And boy, does that man, is he mad now. So then he comes down to you and starts trying to convince you that you're not worthy. You've got troubles. Yes, you're not worthy. Are you talking to God? How can you pray and stuff? And Lord, I pray for Emily and all those who are feeling unworthy and they're staying away from the presence of God. I pray for them to see what is happening in the heavenlies and to be encouraged by that, that through the blood of Christ, you are seen as flawless by God. You are accepted as his child. You're an heir to the throne by that. And I pray for Emily and those like her in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Sound of Life.
His name is Weston. And man, imagine being in the family when he's diagnosed with a type of cancer that's more diagnosed more and more, mainly in kids. And he's certainly a kid. I mean, he just turned 5 and he's cancer free. So he's really been through it. And what really got him through it was gifts of toys and Play-Doh to get him through. And so his mother was like, well, what do you want for your birthday? And he said, I want to give back. Pretty amazing. Well, you live through a lot. Even though he's 5 years old, he lived through a lot. His mother posted images to Facebook showing her son in a car packed full of gifts. They've got like a pretty good sized car too. Trying to think of the name of it. It's one of those big Chevy Star Cruisers, I call them. You can put my whole house in the back of one of those things. She said, well, I don't know if we're going to get the thing full or not, but they did because they put out the word that this is what he wanted to do. Okay. It's marked 2 years since his son finished treatment. The National Cancer Institute says is a disease. I tell you what it was, but I can't pronounce it. It's which malignant cells form in muscle tissue. And her son came up with the plan on his own. He said, I don't need anything. I want Play-Doh and dinosaurs to give to the children at the hospital. And they started filling up the Yukon. And she said, I wasn't sure we were going to be able to do that, but the packages just kept coming in. And they all fit with a little room to spare. And she took a pretty cool photograph with him out with it all. And when you see that, you're like, what in the world? But Michelle is his cousin, said he wanted to give to the other kids in need. And she wrote on her Facebook post that during his year of treatment at the Hershey's Children's Hospital, it was the little things that he got every day that helped the hospital be a fun place, even while he was getting chemo that would make him sick. Must have made a lasting impression. They dropped everything off they dropped everything off, and the people there at Child Life this year, which they give to the children there at the hospital, they've already given out over 3,000 containers of Play-Doh. Thanks so much for making Weston's birthday donation such a huge success. Isn't that amazing? A little give back like that, and he had the idea. The idea is changing the lives of a lot of families because their children don't have their minds solely on what they're being treated. Is 5 years old. So, you know, they're working on it. There's people really dedicated for that, and I'm sure that you're thinking, why does my child have to be singled out? A child, you know, to have to go through that stuff. But he made it through, and Weston, congratulations and happy birthday. Thanks for that great attitude, man.
A great way to start your day. The Cup of Joe Morning Show, The Sound of Life.
Got something really cool for you. If you're up and you're waiting on the bus, or maybe you're in one of those states like Ian Humphrey was so many times growing up. You know, grandmothers, very, very influential, have been over the years and will continue to be. And Ian's was very influential in him. And he always remembered, you know, because you don't want to get out of bed early in the morning. Come on. Tuesday morning, 6:14, you know, you just picture it. You know good and well, you teenager, you, or a parent even. But Ian fondly remembered the encouragement from his grandmother first thing in the morning.
Like my grandmother would say, now, son, you knew when you laid down there last night. didn't get up this morning. I don't know why every single morning you lay there and act surprised. You ought to be thankful that the Lord saw fit to wake you up this
morning
in your right
mind.
But what my grandmother was encouraging me to do was simply to be grateful for the opportunity. In spite of all that I had been through in my life, she just wanted to make sure that I understood the opportunity that I've been given.
Amen.
Hey, this is Drew from We Are Messengers, and thank you for listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show.
The annual Day of Atonement, that's what we call it, Yom Kippur, is the Jewish word, and it's always been the most holy day in the Hebrew history throughout for thousands of years, because it was when everyone got atonement for their sins. The high priest would be very, very clean. Make sure of that. It was a very sacred, if you will, and maybe probably scary for the high priest. The other priests were probably like, "Ooh, boy, man, it's not me." But he would take he would go past the veil into the Holy of Holies one time a year. It was the only time, and he was the only person that ever did that. At one time, the Ark of the Covenant was in there, and in the Holy of Holies, and he would sprinkle the blood from animal sacrifices on that, and it was for the atonement of sins. All right. So, of course, when Jesus, who is now our high priest, sitting at the right hand of God, the Father, in heaven, was crucified, that veil was torn in two. Very symbolic that now the Holy of Holies is open to you through His blood sacrifice. See? And it's pretty awesome. You get a hold of that whole thing with the blood sacrifice and how important it was and the atonement of sins and things. And it's interesting because if you're Jewish, you think, well, the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. The Ark of the Covenant, we don't know where that is. But God has always provided a way for atonement of sins. Even in the Garden of Eden, He provided garments. He sacrificed an animal to provide garments for Adam and Eve. So this whole plan was from the very beginning. He's orchestrating this entire play out of forgiveness. So if you're Jewish and you're like, well, if you're depending on the, you know, priest sprinkling the blood in the Holy of Holies, that's not done anymore. The temple's not there. Where is our redemption of sins from? The blood of Jesus, who is now our high priest for everyone. Anyway, the greeting in Yom Kippur is not like, hey, happy Yom Kippur. You don't say that. You just say, I guess the best thing to be would, may you have an easy fast, because they don't eat or drink anything for that day. And maybe you're one of those people. Just say, have an easy fast. That's the best thing you can say, right? It's pretty cool. All right. So now we go on to the pumpkin weigh-in, because that's what's really important here, you know. Record-breaking pumpkin, heavier than a car. If you saw it coming down the road, it would be pretty scary, I guess. So that's the thing. It was over in Connecticut. Now, you do know these farmers, and maybe you're one of them, or maybe you know them, they do that to try to win a big prize. It's a pretty good-sized prize, thousands of dollars, and it's very hard to do. I've seen photographs of these pumpkins out in the field, you know, and it's through year after year after year of cultivating a very large pumpkin. They have to cool it off because it's such a large mass of plant growing that it could just explode at any moment. I'm making that up. I was reading about this and thinking, it's like a horror movie. It's amazing. But the Connecticut man set the local record for the heaviest pumpkin at the Topsfield Fair in New England. The winner of the All New England Giant Pumpkin Weigh-Off is 2,294.5 pounds. Heavier than some automobiles. It is indeed. Maybe not yours, but it is. The Guinness World Record for the heaviest pumpkin is from Belgium, and that is over 2,600 some odd pounds. But, hey, what's a few pounds? Alex Knoll from Pumfret, Connecticut, snagged $8,519. So I'm sure that was, he said, I'm going to sleep better tonight. That's because he hasn't slept during a growing season, trying to keep this thing from, you know, to make sure it was okay and they could get it to market.
A great way to start your day, the Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Love your radio station. I listen to it every morning. It wakes me up. It inspires me. It gets me going.
The Sound of Life.
Well, I guess long gone are the days where they were reserved for instant messaging kids. Okay? Research reveals that the modern day hieroglyphics, known as emojis, are fast becoming a staple of business communications. I guess they enhance employee engagement, they speed interactions, and reduce conflict. How can you lose so many positive things? Who would have ever thought it? It's amazing. Who thought of that anyway? Who thought? I gotta find out the answer on that. Somebody surveyed like 1,000 Americans, got a sample, so what they found out was that we send an average of over 34 emoji a day across social media. I may send 34, but it's the same one, probably. I use two different kinds of smiles. You know, the smile is just a regular smile, and then there's a smile with the eyes are, you know, closed and maybe a little. Anyway, men are more likely to be adding an icon as they are sending three more a day compared to women. The first thing I thought of was that's because women know how to use words. That's what it is. Of course, the Gen Zs, which are 16 to 24-year-olds, are the biggest emoji lovers, as on a daily basis, they send over five times more than Americans that are 55 and over. You kidding me? They can communicate a whole thought on just put out emojis. And I sit there and look at it, and I'm like,
I don't know what you're talking about.
I have no idea, but...
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
Who told you I was clever?
Oh, all your friends at the studio told me.
Oh, drat.
The Sound of Life.
I was reading about this whole debacle, big blow-up with NBA basketball in China, and you may be thinking, yeah, I saw a little bit about that in the news. What in the world is going on? Well, a man associated with the NBA in this country, associated with the team, he let his opinions be known on social media that he was in support of the protest in Hong Kong. Now, you know that Hong Kong in recent years has been transitioning from the being ruled by Britain to being ruled by China. And so China had this law on the books, and it was about extradition. If you are arrested for a crime in Hong Kong, then you can be extradited to China for your court and punishment and all that kind of stuff. And of course, Christians are very concerned about that, taking control over that, because in China, you get along really great with the government until you do something that they don't really want you to do, like going to a church that's a home church or not authorized, or, you know, Muslims have a hard time as well too. They can. So it's just something that doesn't get out. We kind of act like China's just going along all great, you know, and all this stuff. But, anyway, the basketball, it's just this big uproar that caused, you know, cause there's like more people that follow the NBA in China than there are people in the United States. I mean, there's 3 billion people in that country. And they're very concerned. I can understand that. The government is very concerned about, as one Chinese businessman said, who was here in America talking, and he said, they just want you to get up and go to work and come home, not cause any trouble, see, and all that. And they have instituted these penalties for not abiding by their social construct. You know, you can lose your privilege to fly or privilege to ride on the train and things. They keep track of this stuff. It's pretty amazing thing to watch there. You know, a government, a federal government trying to control. Ooh, imagine that. You know, wouldn't want to fall into that trap, but I fear no more. But and thankfully, the head of the NBA has said, in this country, we have free speech. You know, I mean, there are ramifications of free speech, but we have free speech. We're not going to tell an owner or a coach or whatever something he can't say. It's interesting. I came across something very edifying that's very, very simple and worth thinking about. as you go through every day. And I don't know who thought of it. I know Toby Mac put it out on social media on the hashtag Speak Life memes. It's really cool. The only one qualified to throw the stone didn't. Think about that.
Hey, this is Crowder, and you're listening to Cup of Joe Morning Show. It's my favorite. It's how you start your day, and your day is going to get better and better.
So Nate over in Marlboro, Massachusetts, came home from work one afternoon and discovered that someone had broken into his house. Not a very pleasant thing. It's just got to be pretty tough. Although something was amiss because this wasn't a routine burglary. Nothing was missing. So how do you know it was burglarized? Well, the intruder had cleaned his house top to bottom, spick and span. The rugs were vacuumed, the beds were made, the bathroom scrubbed, the toilet paper was adorned with origami roses. What? Well, he called the police, but the evidence of the break-in had been, well, you know, swept away. It must have been an odd thing for the police to see, well, they broke in, but they actually cleaned the place instead of, you know, don't see that every day. It's funny he said it's funny now, but it really didn't feel funny at the time. I have kept the toilet paper roses as souvenirs, and I'm wondering if a cleaning crew had come to the wrong house, wrong address. But if so, how did they get in? There's no good explanation for the incident. It remains a mystery. So you have to draw your own conclusions. You may be wondering, how do I get in touch with that particular intruder? But you don't need an intruder to clean up your life. One of the wonderful surprises about committing your life to Christ is discovering His cleansing power. See, He said, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. You let me in, I'll come in. I'll have dinner with you. You know, we'll be buddies. We'll talk and communicate and socialize and get to know each other and everything. When you open the door and invite Jesus in, He comes in, as it were, with a broom and mop. You don't picture that often, you know, when you're thinking about that probably. But you do now, you see. Remember in the Gospels where He cleansed the temple? The Bible constantly speaks of His cleansing power and His ability to purify His people, because He is holy, pure, and sinless. And as you grow in Christ, He makes you increasingly like Him. As you progress in your Christian journey, you'll develop an instinctive yearning for moral uprightness, for the need for your inner life to reflect Christ's cleanliness in spirit. So to put it very simply, we all need someone who can disinfect our hearts, clean up our habits, vacuum our values, sweep the dirt out of our minds, launder our motives, spruce up our attitudes, and tidy up our testimonies. Yes, that actually is from a book by Greg Groeschel, and it's called Soul Detox, Clean Living in a Contaminated World.
Hey, this is Drew from We Are Messengers, and thank you for listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show.
The Nobel Prize in Chemistry has been awarded. It was awarded to John and M. Stanley and Akira. You're like, who in the world are those people? And they did it for a very good reason. Sarah Lindsay, a chemistry professor and member of the award committee, was sweeping her fingers at the reporters gathered at the Royal Swedish Academy of Sciences in Stockholm. She said, we have gained access to a technical revolution. And boy, she is speaking right to me. The Nobel Prize was awarded to the three men who were responsible for the invention and development of, are you ready, lithium ion batteries. That's what it says right on the side of the battery in my vacuum, the battery in my drill, the battery. I just keep on going. It's just absolutely amazing. And I agree, they should get this. It is just it's a highly charged story, someone said. Who were they with? But it is just amazing how small they are, how powerful they are. I don't know if you remember when the first battery-operated tools were out there. My neighbor had one. This is over 10 years ago. And she had, she was a big, person that concerned about the environment and stuff, you know, so no gasoline powered equipment. Well, she had a lawnmower, but anyway, so she had this weed eater that I borrowed one time. Man, just to lug that thing around, the battery in that thing must have weighed 40 pounds. It was incredible. And now, of course, anybody, pop the battery out, pop it in, you know, you're vacuuming, it runs down, pop it out, pop the one you got on the charger, pop it in, boom, ready to go. I just can't believe the power you get in those things. Leaf blowers. Woohoo! Amazing. Watching the plumber who came, you know, you're out working today. You're out cutting pipes, plumbing, or you're drilling, you know, holes for screws and stuff working, or you're vacuuming and stuff. You're probably using one of those lithium ion batteries. An amazing, amazing power. You know, that's, I mean, it's really pretty cool. So anyway, I just wanted to, talk about the lightweight, hard-wearing battery that could be charged hundreds of times for its performance is good. One of those professors, by the way, is like 97 years old, the oldest person to ever receive a Nobel Prize. So that's pretty good working on that. And I'm sure they knew they were onto something big, right? You got that?
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
I'll get to
the sound of life.
Some people, you tell them, no, you're not going to do it. They're going to do it anyway. I don't know if Tammy Jo was like that or not, but she certainly did want to fly watching those Air Force jets loop and roll and soar in the sky above her New Mexico home. And mom said, oh, you can't do that. You've got cavities. Thankfully, a couple of weeks later, her father said, that's just a myth. It has nothing to do with you flying. So now we call her, and I don't know if that name rings a bell, but now we call her a Captain Tammy Jo Schultz. She was happened to be on flight 1380 Southwest Airlines. I don't know about you, but when I'm flying, I'm thinking, you know, I know that if that plane gets in trouble, there's a pilot, male or female, on that plane that's like, are you kidding me? This is nothing. I flew in the Navy. I could land on a ship that was bombing in the ocean. What we got here is nothing. Well, you never know what's going to happen. Growing up on a farm in New Mexico and dreaming about flying. Here's how it went down as she got in trouble a couple years ago on that Southwest. She didn't get in trouble. The plane did. Something broke majorly on the plane, and she was requesting an emergency landing, and the tower was giving her instructions about her speed and her altitude and things like that. Listen to how calm she is in describing a very dire circumstance.
I advise you to maintain out above 2,200 for DMVA.
Okay, could you have the medical meet us there on the runway as well? We've got injured passengers.
Injured passengers, okay. And is your airplane physically on fire?
No, it's not on fire, but part of it's missing. They said there was a hole and someone went out.
What?
I'm sorry, you said there was a hole and somebody went out? South of 1380, it doesn't matter. We'll work it out there. So the airport's just...
Yeah, there was a hole, and, you know, can you imagine being the air traffic controller? What? Anyway, so she... it was back up the story a little bit. You know, the majority of the people she said she trained with and under in the Navy and Southwest Airlines were good-hearted, kind, and invaluable in her growth as a pilot, but there were still a handful of close-minded individuals who had real problems with girls taking a seat in the cockpit. And these two extremes of positive and negative voices throughout my career, she said, brought to life the words of King Solomon in Proverbs chapter 12. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Deceit is in the hearts of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have joy. The contrast of the Proverbs, as Solomon wrote. She said, with every new sunrise, every new instructor or captain, and every new season in the air, I felt God was constantly assuring me, you don't have to respond. I am fighting for you. Remember that. Though my mom may have been unschooled in dentistry, she was wise in the ways of the Lord. She said, I will remember her saying, Tammy Jo, you will never be held responsible for what they say to you. You will be held accountable for every word you say to others. Let God take care of them. One day as the officer, first officer at Southwest, you found herself in the chief's office where he and the assistant began drilling her about questions about her safety record during the days in the Navy. Apparently, word had gotten to them concerning a false accusation made about me without first seeking documentation from the Navy that would have verified the falsity of the claim and confirmed my perfect safety record. They accused me of lying about that record on my application, and then they fired me on the spot. I immediately had to surrender my ID badge, which resulted in my name being dragged through the mud over the next several months. It's a long time. During this horrendous time, my head throbbed constantly and my stomach ached. Time and time again, I found myself opening up God's Word, mostly the Old Testament, looking for wisdom and comfort. The Lord your God himself will fight for you. That's in Deuteronomy. Not even in the Bible does one find that every story is fair. You know, kids, that's not fair. God showed me countless instances of tragedy befalling his children who had not done anything to deserve their sometimes excruciating circumstances. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, then later thrown into prison for doing the right thing and fleeing from a seductress. Job lost his children and all his wealth, got boils all over his body. The giant slaying David was forced to hide in the wilderness because of a crazed and jealous King Saul. Were any of their stories fair? Not at all. God wasn't concerned with whether their circumstances were fair. He was focused on how these individuals would respond despite their circumstances. Wow, it's a real lesson, isn't it? And she went through it. I didn't know she went through that. Being fired, she said, wasn't fair either, but didn't mean that this incredibly difficult time was not without purpose. How will you respond? God once again asked me, will you trust me? In an attempt to stay above the fray, I decided I could no longer wallow in my disappointment, but that I would take the initial steps to try to get my job back, not in my own power, but with God fighting for me as his word promises. Her case was eventually brought to a hearing with four jurors. Many people came to my defense. When all was said and done, the committee determined that I had not lied on my application. I had truthfully represented my qualifications. I was immediately offered to take my job back, and I accepted. I believe that Southwest would be held back by a... She said, I believe that Southwest would not be held back by just a few people's prejudice and was, in fact, a great company to work with. It's hard to see in the moment. How we respond to the trials that come our way is more important than the actual result of that trial. I'm certainly glad those... I bet those passengers on that plane that day, that window blew out and somebody went out. I can't even imagine sitting on a plane like that. The horror of that, but realizing... Isn't it a good thing that she decided to make it through? Wow. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the sound of life.
So here we are in October here in the great Northeast, which is the quintessential, it's, you know, your ideal October when you think about October, right? And all the postcards and stuff that you send out. Oh, and I forgot, we don't do them. But in Florida, I guess it doesn't look quite the same, especially not in Key West. So a lot of people there are divers, which is a really cool thing to do. And so what they do is they have what they call the Underwater Pumpkin Carving Contest in Florida. Want to know what they had to eat before they decided to come up with that? You got to go down about 30 feet off the in the Atlantic Ocean off the Florida Key Largo, and you create a jack-o'-lantern underwater. Yes, it is the annual Underwater Pumpkin Carving Contest that organizers said about 24 people competing in teams of two. Competing in teams of two. You have scuba diving with pumpkins and carving tools in hand. They did it last Saturday. National Marine Sanctuary there in Florida Keys for this annual event. A team hailing from Detroit. One, it's a scandal. Josephine and Stephanie took first place with a pumpkin carved to show two moray eels swimming in circles around a heart. They got a free dive trip for Key Largo's Amaray Dive Resort. You know, something that, you know, they probably would have done anyway. But it's really funny. Two moray eels swimming in circles around a heart. That's what they carved. I'm lucky to get some semblance of a mouth on my pumpkin.
During our lifetime, we travel many roads.
The Sound of Life.
Today's prevailing worldview is to separate science and religion. We seem to think they're like oil and water. You know, they don't go together, but that wasn't always the case before and during the scientific revolution. Names that everybody knows in great scientific work in history actually saw their work as an exploration of God's order in nature. In fact, many still do. It didn't get a lot of publicity. The great chemist Robert Boyle launched the work at the Royal Society of London to, and I quote, discover the true nature of the works of God. Brilliant scientists saw scientific investigation as a complement to study the Bible. George Washington Carver, who revolutionized the economy of the South, a man born into slavery, probably should have been so mad he just left. But he didn't. He said, quit growing cotton on the same 1,000 acres over and over and over again. Plant soybeans, rotate the crops. Revolutionized the economy so much that the U.S. Senate had a little committee. They wanted to get him up there. Let's talk to him for a couple minutes, find out what's going on. They ended up talking to him for a couple of hours. Fascinating man. He said, I only take the Bible into my laboratory. I ask God what he wants me to know about his creation, and he shows me. Boy, did he ever. The things he did, absolutely incredible. Although I do not believe he invented crayons, but I think he was close. René Descartes and Isaac Newton described the cosmos as a watch crafted and wound by a divine watchmaker. Astronomer Johann Kepler, these are foundational scientific people. He said, and I quote, the chief aim of all investigations of the external world should be to discover the rational order and harmony imposed on it by God. Of course, what they all kind of missed was that the creator's Jesus is God's son, right? He created all things that weren't created unless he created them and sustains them. Every molecule in your body, atom, proton, neutron, whatever they are, photonatomic particle, I don't know, start making up stuff, is sustained. People think, well, he created this big order and things are running and stuff, but from what I understand, is involved in every molecule, every atom that was created in the universe. Now, does that give you a little broader view of God?
Cup of Joe Morning Show.
In the coffee of life, we're your sweet. The Sound of Life.
I didn't know this until recently, but education has a laundry problem. It's a big problem. According to teachers nationwide, 1 in 5 students struggle with access to clean clothes, which leads to students missing school. Those kids who miss school, of course, are 7 times more likely to drop out. Imagine that. Dirty clothes. Why'd you drop out of school? They never say that. The link there is amazing. Whoever did that and found that out, somebody must have seen just something. They had this idea. And then somehow, a big company, I think we have their appliances in our house right now, doing well, decided that they were going to change this, make some changes by giving away washing machines. And they're embarking on their 5th year today. It's called Care Counts. That's the official name of the program. Care Counts Laundry Program has grown to support students in need across 18 cities, U.S. cities, and provide laundry machines for more than 38,000 students. So that's, they made a big impact already, but there's tons of students. Oh, man. They're in 82 schools. There's over 80,000 schools in this country. It's incredible. And this year, for the first time, Care Counts is inviting schools that serve low-income families nationwide to apply for a laundry pair to bring this program to even more students. So they really consider what they've done so far as a pilot program. We hope to make even more progress by expanding the program well beyond the footprint of our pilot program. That was the quote of somebody who knows what they're doing there at the company. It's just incredible because they said, we know every day counts, and they're making a tremendous impact. The high-risk elementary school students more than one day a month, you're in trouble. And so they were missing those days. So they like 11 days a year, something that was what they were projecting. So they're cutting down on that, and they've made vast improvements to that. Over two-thirds of participating elementary school students at risk for chronic absenteeism had an increase in their grades during the program. So they see the results of it. So they're trying it out with a few schools. Well, it's a big company. You know, it's like, we'll try like 80-some schools. You know, we'll see. Well, it's true. That's a pilot program. Laundry, washing kids' clothes, get them in school.
I like the sound of that.
The Sound of Life.
Probably don't hear about the 37-year-old CEOs, who I understand, according to surveys, is one of the most popular CEOs in the country. She's had quite a life. I'll tell you right up front. She was very young when she took on a big responsibility. She lost her father. Grandfather was very important to her. Father was very dear to her. She's just searching for love. She got addicted. She got married a couple of times. One of them was abusive. For a 37-year-old, she has lived a lot of life, and a lot of it wasn't any good. But as the CEO of this big company, that her grandfather started out in California, drive-in. I mean, it's perfect for California, right? She is, doing something that the company president, a man who started the business, I think there was a grandfather, was Rich Snyder. Her name is Lindsay Snyder, without the D, Lynsi, Lindsay Snyder. She is now the CEO of a burger joint. Yeah, a little burger joint called In-N-Out. It's a $3 billion company. And they have known, and we were out there years ago, my wife and I were chaperoning a class out in California, and we went there, believe me. At midnight, the lines are around the corner. You know, it's very popular. It's a place to be. And it's very good, of course. There's a reason for that. But they said, yeah, look, and of course it's hard to do when your cup is full of soda, but look on the bottom of the cup and there's a Bible verse under there. It says John 3:16 historically there. But she's doing something. She keeps adding Bible verses to things that the food comes in. She is expanding this tradition that I guess Rich Snyder started. The verses are discreet, of course, like on the bottom of the cup. If you look at the packaging, you'll see it. It's really kind of cool. And she's adding Bible verses. Like I said, she was going to be speaking at the Christian Music Broadcasters Convention, and I just really wanted to hear what she had to say, really, because I probably the first and maybe the only time that a speaker who's a CEO would be a person who's been married four times. You know, when you see some statistics about her, you're like, what? You know, doesn't fall in line with that. But she's an incredible person. She is now happily married. And it's very interesting that it was kind of funny with the company. She's a very bright person. And she said, now I think if you take Texas and you draw a line up through the middle of the country from Texas that way, she said, I don't think we're going to go any further east than that. You know, that's part of the mystique of the whole In-N-Out burger thing. And, anyway, Lindsay Snyder, good for her. In an era where, and I want to thank you again, businesses who support the Sound of Life and put your name out there. Because in today's climate, it can be very difficult. People get really upset with certain associations. You know, who was it? A quarterback and for the NFL this year was promoting Bring Your Bible to School Day. And it was started by Focus on the Family. He didn't even mention Focus on. He just said, bring your Bible. It's a great thing to do, you know. People just were outraged. Some people were. So it's a really big deal. So the fact that she is putting more Bible verses on their products, pretty cool.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the Sound of Life.
They were all there. Boy, it was Hollywood entertainment. Right there, Oprah Winfrey, Ava DuVernay, or Tyson. Wow, she's getting up there. Beyonce, Jay-Z, Kelly Rowland, Haley Berry, Gladys Knight, and others. T.D. Jakes was there. What was going on? He was opening his studio That would be Tyler Perry. He's been had a big presence there in Georgia anyway. Man, he's owned the land for a while that it sits on, 330-acre headquarter in Atlanta, 12 sound stages, each of which is named after a prominent black icon. The studio was built on land that used to be Fort McPherson, served as a Confederate Army base during the American Civil War. I think when he heard about that land being for sale, he bought it. It was very intentional that he would be there because he said, I'm turning a page in American history, you know, black ownership and prominence in this particular industry. It's pretty amazing. He also said, and he tweeted out, couldn't close the weekend without Jesus meeting us on the lawn at the studio. He Instagrammed it, not tweeted, he Instagrammed it. Having a full heart and a thankful soul to all that have prayed me all the way here. Wow, amazing. Now, you may be like, well, you know, I got a problem with that. Okay, it's all right, but it's really a pretty cool thing. He said, I can't explain how many icons were there to see history turn a page, said T.D. Jakes. He Instagrams too. It felt like all the ancestors were rejoicing at what God has done. I didn't see anyone that didn't have gratitude on their faces. Tyler Perry said, man, wouldn't it have been cool if Martin Luther King had been here just to see that? He dreamed about this day, obviously. Tyler Perry is 50. He purchased the land back in 2015, built the studio on. It's one of the largest in the country, and he plans to fill out the massive complex even more by adding restaurants and retail shops as time goes on, hoping to turn the sprawling space into a destination for tourists and locals. Very interesting. He has his heart set on service. Very interesting. He has reportedly discussed using a portion of the complex to develop a crisis center to help victims of human trafficking. Wow. And so he's still got like a couple of more years or a year and a half, something like that, to work on everything that he has planned right now. And by then, he'll have even more planned, probably. His mind's going, and it's just one of those things. It's a new sign on the highway directing travelers towards his studio. The placement is significant to Tyler Perry, as it is right next to a sign leading toward Sylvan Road, where the entertainment first lived when he moved to Georgia. It's amazing. I came here with nothing, lived off Sylvan Road. That's something. Always keeping the faith, knowing that if I worked hard, did my absolute best, kept my integrity, honored every blessing, and remained grateful through it all, everything would work out. Wow.
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast on the Sound of Life, the Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events, contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.